Okay, everyone, welcome to a very special edition of Geeking Out About. This week is a full interview only podcast. Next week, hopefully, I'll be back with all the little tidbits of stuff that I love that have come out over the course of the week. But this week, it's all about the Batman. I have to confess, I've seen the Batman, and I will probably be talking about the Batman for a good couple of months still after this, because what a film. Like, I can't, it's very hard to order my thoughts because I want to talk about so many different things when I talk about the Batman, because there were so many things to love about the movie. But the short sweet review is Batman is most definitely back. As it has in so many other films featuring Batman, the Batmobile is a character in this movie. And it is a talking point, because it is probably one of the coolest looking Batmobiles I've ever seen. Of course, that lends itself to being translated into versions of it that you can take home with you and put on a shelf or roll around the floor or blah, blah, blah. Everyone's done one. Lego's done one. Lego's done two. Spin Master's done one. Hot Wheels have done a couple. However, we are here to talk about this one. This is the 1/18 scale Batmobile from Jada Toys. This is part of their Jada Next Level line. It is die-cast. It's heavy, but it is badass. And to help us dissect it so that you can see all of the badass parts of it is Michael Jimenez, who is a designer for Jada, who actually worked on this very car, and who I am super jealous of because he actually got to see the real one.
How you doing,
Michael,
sir?
Welcome to Geeking Out About.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be on here. Hey, so I didn't quite get it. Did you like the movie?
I don't know. I think I rewrote my review like 3 times. I still haven't recorded it yet because I'm still not sure if I said everything I wanted to say.
In all honesty, I haven't seen it yet. I have plans to go see it this weekend. So, no spoilers, please. But yeah, I'm glad that you liked it. And I'm hearing a lot of good things about it. So I'm pretty excited to go check it out.
Yeah, Warner Brothers, you let him see the actual car and they haven't seen the movie yet. What's up?
It happens. We work a lot with movie cars. So, we sometimes will get to go to the premieres. Sometimes we just don't get invited. But, it's okay. I get it. It's all right.
So tell me about some of the challenges that this particular Batmobile presented in translating it from just stock, like from photos. Like, I can't even imagine, like, the sitting here and looking at the detail on this car, I can't imagine all you guys had to work with was photos. That's crazy.
Well, in the very beginning, when we started doing it, because we already had the license for doing Batmobiles for Warner Brothers. So when we were starting with this project, we started to see some leaked images and we started to put it together and design it. One of the things that we didn't realize until we saw the car in person was that it's a lot higher than what we made it to be. And that's okay, because typically Jada Toys has a Jada style, where we make it look a little bit more custom, but the car is already really custom as it is, but we do take a couple liberties and try to make it look a little bit more, I would say not finished, but there's a specific style that Jada has. And you can tell when you look at a car, it's a Jada vehicle.
I noticed when I built the Lego Technic version of it, that mm-hmm. the back is way higher than the front. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that they got access to see the actual car, because we didn't actually get to see the actual car until after we finished making the product. So it was that was one of the things.
I can't even imagine going to see that particular car and then having to sit down and go, okay, how do we build this out of Legos?
Right, exactly.
I have the utmost respect for the people that design those models for Lego because I can't even, you know, unless there's an instruction book in front of me, I can't build anything with Lego.
I think they have programs now that you can just plug in the picture and it tries to build it for you and tells you how many bricks you need, right?
Yeah, I really like it when there's like a book and all the bricks that I would need in front of me.
Exactly.
My life's so much easier.
But like, yeah,
obviously, looking at this particular version of the Batmobile, there's a lot of like intricate little details, like, you know, on the hood, the vents on the hood, and mm-hmm. you know, on the back, the engine parts where there's all the little gears and the engine and the pipes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like designing this from just pictures is so seems like so difficult to me. Like there's a, you know, a fully sculpted and molded interior, and it's just amazing. Now, did you work on any other did you work on the rest of the Batmobiles, Jada?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
Was this the toughest one, or was there one that was harder than this?
Well, this one was tough, but the other ones, the one that I can think of that really was a kind of not necessarily hard, but it was kind of you know, we took some liberties to make it look like what you see on screen, because when you see it in person, if it was the real proportions, it wouldn't look as cool as what you see. So the one I'm talking about is the animated series Batmobile. The animated series, whenever you see that car, it's in super force perspective. So it looks really long. But if you were to make it in scale to the Batman in our figure size, which is about 2 inches, a little bit more than 2 inches in 24 scale, the car would just look like a brick. It would be super wide and it would be short. But what we did, and we took a little bit of the liberties to do, was we made the front really fat and we tapered it to get smaller in the back. So the driver's seat is smaller than the figure, but it gives that illusion that you're looking at the cartoon version. Yeah. And I think it turned out really well. And I think things like that, little details like that, that we were able to do and Warner Brothers allowed us to do, really made that piece stand out for us.
One of my favorite things that I own is the 6-inch scale Batman, the animated series Batmobile that DC Collectibles did.
Mm-hmm.
And it is 2 feet long.
Yeah, right.
It is an enormous car.
It is.
But like, right. I waited so long for like 6-inch scale animated series figures. I was, and then like they came out with a Batwing, and the Batwing was even longer.
Yeah, right.
Batwing is 3 feet long. It's like it's the most impractically large thing.
Yeah.
That I think I own, but I am just absolutely over the moon in love with it because they made it.
I love oversized toys like that. That's my thing. I if I could afford some of the things I've been looking at, I would be elated. I would make room in my closet to just store it.
The 80, I have the Lego expert creator 89 Batmobile.
Mm-hmm.
A very long car.
Yes.
I remember building it and going, oh my god, how big is this gonna be?
That's awesome. That's cool.
Came out with the Batwing last mm-hmm. year to go mm-hmm. with it, and the 89 Batwing is one of my favorite, like the Batwing in general is one of my favorite vehicles in the world, but like the 89 version and the animated series version are probably like my two favorite versions.
I'm right there with you. I love this
one. And like building the 89 Batwing and having it on a little stand where it tilts
mm-hmm.
is just, it's incredible. and then, like I said, I built the Lego version of this car and that came out amazing. And like, I think one of the neat things about this car is that it's probably the most relatable Batmobile. Like, you know,
totally
you
could, agree.
Like, you know, I imagine there are a bunch of grease monkeys out there that are like, I could get a black Mustang and do that. Or at least come really close.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the most the neatest things about this Batmobile is that people can go see this movie and go home and go, I could do that. Or at least, you know, come close and I could ride around my pseudo Batmobile.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not
for
like
sure.
You can watch the 89 movie and come home and go, oh, I could turn my the car in my garage into that.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was always thinking whenever I saw all the Batmobiles. Like one if Bruce Wayne from the 66 series is he going to build a cool custom car like that, or did he have someone build it for him? I don't think, you know, when he's thinking about what his car should look like, he's going, oh, it has to be, you know, a cool long almost Cadillac looking type vehicle and have these kind of wings on it, and you know, and it just, to me, it didn't make sense. Even it just seemed more cartoony, just like the Tumbler and this 89 Batmobile. All of those look very cartoony, but this one feels more grounded. This one feels like something that, like you said, someone in that could build it in their garage. So that realism really takes me, and I think it really makes Batman like the more relatable person, if you can make him even more relatable than he already is.
What I think is very interesting is you were talking about the 66 Batmobile, and like I thought of the 66 Batmobile when I thought of this car too, because essentially that's how they made the 66 Batmobile, was they took an existing car and George Barris just modified the heck out of it.
Yeah.
But like the Batmobile isn't like an actual car. Like you actually can drive it on the road because it's a car.
Yeah. But that the George Barris vehicle is so modified, and he had so much like artistic influence on it that, you know, it looks more than what someone can do in their garage. So it does still feel kind of out of reach, you know, if you know what I'm saying, you know, but with this new Batmobile from the Batman, I think it's really kind of cool that it looks like someone can actually do that in their garage.
I know the movie was really long already, but I always, but coming out of it and looking at the, I always thought it would have been really cool if they could have put some more scenes of Bruce like working on the car in the movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But maybe they got made and they got cut. Maybe they'll be in the director's cut or something.
Right.
But I would love to see like a little bit of how, you know, how they made the Batmobile. And like I always wonder about like service. Like there's that famous episode of the animated series where, you know, Batman has to go and get the Batmobile serviced, and so he goes to this guy's garage.
That's pretty.
And of course, Penguin finds out. And, you know,
I think that
I always
was
wonder that, like that what was the one body of the shop things. Contract for the Batmobile. Let's look.
I remember when we were working on that animated series Batmobile, we wanted the hood to open, and there was no, like, there was like one scene, one little clip that we found that they opened that hood, and we just saw
it
what
opens like on the side, like an old Ford car.
Yeah. But it was wild because we had to scour through a lot of footage just to be able to find something.
Yeah, I always laugh at that episode. Can you imagine going to like the phone book, like, which garage do you think would be best, Alfred?
It's
how do you ask clandestine questions about which garage would be best to service the Batmobile?
I would think that he would be driving to different garages and say, hey, can you service this, and he'd turn down multiple times before he found one and like, okay, I'll try.
And all the garages are like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I use stock parts on that?
Yeah. That's funny. Oh man.
Yeah, the so like this car, like I said, this car is like super relatable, but like the two things that come off from just about like every image and every video clip and everything like that you've seen about it are It is incredibly cool looking, and it's mean. Like, it looks mean, it sounds mean, like, it's just a mean, mean car, and it just, I love it because it totally ties into, like, the whole, you know, fear is a weapon, and the, my favorite, one of my favorite lines from the film is when they talk about the bat signal. He says, when they see that light in the sky, it's not just a signal, it's a warning.
Yeah, that's an awesome line. I love that.
I love that line. And it's sort of the same thing about this car. Like, when you hear this Batmobile start up, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's what I'm looking forward to seeing, is seeing that on screen where the car starts up. I haven't seen it yet, and I haven't heard the car, so I'm really excited to see that part of it.
Yeah. So, like, I won't spoil the whole scene, but I'll tell you that you hear it before you see it.
I love that. That's awesome.
The best part about this is, like, the lighting on it is beautiful. Like, this is, so I'm pretty sure that I'm right on this. Don't want to say this 100%. If I'm wrong on this, someone will call me out, I'm sure. But this is the first time I can remember the flame on the Batmobile being blue. And what's awesome about that is that all of the toy companies have broken out all their blue translucent plastic, and so you get, like, you have, like, blue flames on the Spin Master one, and there's blue flames on the back of the Lego one, and it's amazing. Yours does not have blue flames, but yours is meant to be more realistic. Yours, however, does have some really awesome lights. You guys can see, you get the headlights, you get the front grill light. It's like a sadistic Knight Rider, this car.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yes, it is.
It's really like the meaner version of Knight Rider. Like, this is Kit's mean cousin.
Yeah.
And then you do get the afterburner on the back. Yeah. You do get the taillights, and you do get the upper taillight. So the coolest part is, you guys, I guess most of your, so I should say that I'm a novice to diecast. I really don't do them, because I know that you're not supposed to, like, quote unquote, play with them. And every time I have a Batmobile, I can't resist playing with it. So I've tended to stick more to the action figure side of things. But when I saw this, I knew that I had to have it. Because I've obviously heard of you guys, and I know what you do. And, like, I know how legendary you guys are for your attention to detail and your quality. And so I knew that that if I was going to have one really, really nice display version of this car, that it was likely going to be this one.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I have to say that I am super blown away by the detail and the lighting, and the doors opening, and you guys have a really cool feature where you have a Try Me feature on all your lights, and it's tied to the door.
Yeah,
so, like, you open the door and the lights go on.
There's something interesting about that. We don't like to have buttons around that kind of ruin the aesthetic of the vehicle. So we try to find ways to activate the lights without having a button that obscures the shape of the car. We tried for this one to have it on the suspension, where you push the car down and the wheel will kind of drop and activate the button. But because of the way it's built and engineered inside there wasn't room for that button. So we had to use something that's easily accessible through the window of the window box, to be able to use the Try Me. And we figured that the door was one of the easiest ways. And we did that with a couple other things, like our Knight Rider diecast in the 1/24 scale.
Yeah, I can see that it's tied to the movement of the door.
Mm-hmm.
So you open the door, it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
You close the door, it goes on. You guys also have like the little, you guys also have the little things that raise up in the front, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hood or bonnet does lift up. And that was something that we did. I'm not sure if the real car opens in that way, but it was another feature that we proposed and we were approved to do.
I believe it does flip up. It does somehow flip up in the movie. I don't know if does it in the movie, but I believe it does do it in the car because I know the Lego version does it. There it is. I know the Lego version does it too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's like something that's button activated. I can't remember if it does it in the movie. I don't know if it's button activated as like a drag thing or something, but you can see a little better into the engine.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, those lights on the front, on top of the hood, on the engine area, or not the engine, but whatever that front area is, in the real car, they look like exhaust ports. So they have a different look from what we developed. So that is a little bit of a difference there, but I think those lights in that section does make it look really cool.
It's definitely really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every time I look at it, it is definitely becoming my favorite Batmobile of all time.
Now, if there ever talk, because I noticed that you guys did mold the entire interior, but you didn't put any color in or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So was there ever talk of like actually like putting in like stickers or something to show the gauges?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's always talk. There's also one of the biggest things that we have to think about when developing these cars is the cost to the end consumer and things right now, especially with the port issues and the cost of transit and material and labor, everything is going up. So we have to, you know, sometimes we have to cut in some areas, but at the same time, you know, the interior is, you know, we can do a lot more and we are going to do a lot more because there's a new line of vehicles that we're going to be releasing starting early next year. I can't really say too much about, but it's going to be another level up from what our current level is. And you'll see a lot more detail and a lot more higher quality little details that we don't typically put on our diecast. So we're really excited about that. And that's a little bit of a sneak peek of what we're going to be doing here in the future.
So will this car be a part of that line?
I cannot say.
I cannot confirm
or deny. We're just starting this right. We're developing things right now, and the first car will be out in. And we're still have yet to announce this new line, but it will be announced very, very soon, probably within the next couple months here. So I really can't say anything more than that. But be it's excited!
Is it going to be a mass retail line, or is it going to be direct to consumer, next level?
It'll probably be starting off on next level. So we're going to introduce it and sell it through our next level website.
And we should note that next level is Jada's direct consumer line, where they carry and release products that are a little bit above the mainstream retail level of product. You get a little higher, you know, you get a little higher end, it's a little bigger scale, you get a little higher end product, you get a price point that might be a little outside of what some retailers are comfortable putting in their shelving, just because it may be prohibitive to a mass retail audience.
Correct.
But for direct consumer, they're going after the collectors that they know want the product.
Exactly. So what next? It's JadaNextLevel.com, and what we're going after is you know, the next level collector. And also next level means our next level of collectible product. On that site, we not only sell like exclusive next level products, but we also sell first to market items that you can get prior to it actually coming out either in the hobby markets or in mass market. Sometimes we'll just sell some simple items that we don't want to put out into the mass market, and we just have it there available for us to sell. But for the most part, the direct-to-consumer market for us is growing, and there's a lot of demand for it, and we're going to support it, and we're going to push a lot of cool new products here coming very soon, not only in vehicles, but also in action figures.
Yeah, raise your hand out there if you knew that Jada did anything other than diecast metal cars.
Don't sleep on our monsters line of action
figures. You'll notice that my hand is not raised because I am ashamed to say that I did not know that you did stuff.
Oh man, yeah. So
other than diecast metal cars,
we have a team run by a guy named June, who is a fanatic when it comes to 6-inch action figures. And he is, right now the first items that we produced were the Monsters action figures in 6-inch. And we also did the serial monsters. So Count Chocula, we did a couple of those. So the next wave of Universal Monsters is coming out, and we have some cool announcements of new action figures going to come out in 2023 in spring. So we're really excited to be able to show those to you too soon.
So I had a wonderful opportunity to talk with Bill a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to Bill and I said to Bill.
Bill's our CEO, by the way. Yeah.
I think you will ever get to the point where you will make an articulated figure that fits in the diecast car.
Mm-hmm.
Bill said that anything was possible, mm-hmm. which is the most CEO answer.
Yes, exactly.
So the question is, if I ask you the same question, will you give me a different answer?
Yes, but there's a lot of issues with that, because action figures, you know, they have to be a certain amount of articulation. If you're going to do an action figure, you have to be able to get the license to do a certain size action figure. And with action figures, most of the best names are already taken, right? So we are limited to what we can do, because we can't really get certain licenses to make action figures that are articulated, that will be able to fit in the vehicle. Now, when you have a small scale vehicle and you make an action figure, you have to resize the chairs, the steering wheel and everything so that it's easy to put in. When it's at that scale, to fit a car, a person, or an action figure into the side door, it becomes really difficult. So what I've seen a lot of other companies do, they make the whole canopy of the car open up so you can put it in and you close it back down. That to me is kind of takes the realism out of it a little bit. But those are some of the problems that we have. But again, it's not impossible, like he said. And I'm not gonna lie, we are looking into stuff like that. How far we've gone into it, maybe, I don't know, I can't say.
I will never forget, like, one of my favorite childhood toys was the Kenner Knight Rider talking kit car that came with the David Hasselhoff figure. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget the chairs, because back then action figures really didn't have knees and elbows.
Yeah.
So the chairs on the figure come down and then slope to the ground of the car. Yeah. So literally you just bend his legs and slide him in.
Yeah. Just like a baby seat.
I was like, but wait, that's not how people sit.
Yeah, and that's the issues that we have, because it's really difficult to get all that detail stuffed into that little compartment.
So we should note that when you get this car, it does not just come loose like I'm holding it up. It does come with this fantastic stand, which is clipping like heck on my background. It is a plastic stand. It has a space for the car in the middle. The car is screwed down to a little platform that looks like this. And you can see on the end here, Batman's hanging out. He's also screwed in. He does come out. There are two screws in the bottom. You can unscrew him and he comes out. He's not articulated. He is a display piece, but he is a little diecast figure and he is pretty cool. The cape is rubber. But like all I could think about when I saw this little figure sitting alongside this car with a door that opens is, God, I wish his knees bent.
We all do. See, that's where one of the issues come in, is we couldn't, you know, to get this deal to be able to do figures, is we had to make sure it's diecast and non-articulated. So a lot of our licenses, because that's how we were able to get some of these bigger name licenses to do figures, is because it's diecast and non-articulated.
But you can't even do articulated diecast.
No.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it's tough. I get it, though. They have to protect their other
licenses. Most diecast figures aren't articulated. I wouldn't think that there would be a massive, you know, conflict of interest between companies, because most articulated figures aren't diecast, and most diecast figures aren't articulated.
Yeah. No, but they're very protective of their other licensees. So, you know, I get it. That's fine. But we found a way around it, and we're able to do it. And now we have a huge library of over 180 different vehicles in different scales with different, great action heroes.
And like what I love is, like, you do the cars that are in like the movies and the TV shows, but then you like totally think outside the box to do things like, you know, the Roadrunner car with Wile E. Coyote, and the Green Ranger car, which has never been in a single episode of Power Rangers.
Right. But you know what's fun about it? We started doing, and this was a test with Marvel when we originally started doing the Marvel Hollywood rides, is we were saying, okay, what if we took a Marvel superhero and made a vehicle that we could see at our like local car show? So we wanted to do with something, a car that was inspired by. We didn't want to just sticker slap their name or their face over the side of it. We wanted to do something a little bit more clever that's more in line with our customer base, which is very heavily into custom cars. That's where we started. And then it evolved into being more creative with it, like the Tom and the Roadrunner, where we have Plymouth Roadrunner as the Roadrunner, and then we included the Wile E. Coyote. So we did a lot of things like that. But whenever we do a vehicle, we try to make it a little bit more than just a car and a character. For the Power Rangers, we started with the red, the Green Ranger. We have the yellow one coming out very soon. The Pink Ranger is coming out very soon. But if you collect all of those figures, there is one image of that we took a screen grab from one of the shows, one of the episodes, and you can recreate that scene with all their poses, because we're really posing cool. Exactly in that way. So that's what we like. And we're going to start showing that image very soon. So we can, once we have our final, and I think the Blue Ranger is going to be our last one in that series, and we'll put them all together. And so everyone can see what exactly it could look like.
Now I have to ask, did you guys try to get the license to do the diecast Zords with the Rangers first, or was it always the cars?
We wanted to do Zords with the figures. That was our initial thought. We wanted to do Zords, but the problem is on mass market shelves, you have a package that's this big.
Right.
If we were to do the Zords, they would be all over the place as far as sizing is concerned.
Right.
So we couldn't really do that. And also another issue is, you know how right now the cost of everything is up. Doing a Zord with how much graphics that they have on it, and how much it's really expensive to produce one of those. And I would still love to do it, and I still am pushing for it. And there's other ways around that we have found that we can do Zords, and hopefully very soon, hopefully sooner than later, we'll be able to see some Zords coming from us.
I would also love to see you guys do the Five Lion Voltron.
Oh,
the little pirate figures.
Voltron is that's my thing. I have a huge Voltron collection. I'm looking at my collection right now, and I love Voltron, and that's one thing I would really love to do.
I think that would be amazing. I would love to see like a Five Lion set from you guys with little pilot figures.
Right up my alley. We are coming out with something very exciting here in this. It's coming out later this year in the fall. You'd probably have to wait until we make the announcement, but it's along the lines of, you know, well, let me just spill it. We are working with anime properties.
Really?
Yeah. And that's the next iteration of Hollywood Rides is going to be some anime properties. And
fantastic. I'm so, like I said, I feel like I have done myself such a disservice by not paying attention because I obviously have seen your stuff at stores and stuff, but like not being aware of how much outside of, you know, what I've seen on store shelves you guys do. Like it really, like when I went to Jada Next Level, it really blew me away, some of the stuff you guys have your hands in. Like
it's, yeah, it's, so we're changing a lot of that pretty very soon, and within the next I think within the next year you're going to see a lot more from Jada Toys, and because we're going to change our website a little bit on how we push out our products. We're going to do a lot more announcements. We're going to be showing off a lot of more of our products, because I think right now we're not doing a good enough job letting people know. You know, we have our customer base, our core that really supports us really well, and you know, we've been doing really well with them. Now it's trying to get out there. Yeah, to be,
I mean, I was super blown away when I went to Jada Next Level and saw the Universal Monster figures.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was almost difficult for me to reconcile the concept in my head that the same company that made this diecast car made these beautiful Universal Monsters figures.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So it's crazy because we've been working on getting out of the stigma of being a vehicle company for 5 years now. And we've, you know, people don't know that we do dolls, we do action figures, we do preschool toys, we do all kinds of stuff. But really, right now, where we really made some waves is this new action figure line in the last year. And it's going to be a really big thing for us from here on out. So yeah, be on the lookout for that, because it's we're going to be coming big in 23.
So I want to go back to the Batmobile for a second, because I've been dying to ask you. So you are one of few people outside of the people on the cast and crew of the movie who have actually been able to be in the presence of the real new Batmobile.
Yeah.
How intimidating is the car in person?
So let me tell you, like when I went to the studio to check it out, it wasn't just the Batmobile. It was all of them. They were all there.
Oh my God.
Except for the animated series version. And I'm sorry if you hear a bunch of noise there. The gardeners are outside mowing the lawns right now.
Working this, from home.
Yeah, you know, exactly. This Batmobile from the new movie, I gotta tell you, it's huge compared to the Tumbler, compared to it's a massive car, and it has more presence than any of them. The Justice League one is kind of big as well, but it's so flat it doesn't have that girth, that feel, unless you look at it from the back. But this
one always reminds me of the one in the Arkham game.
Yeah, it does. The Arkham one is kind of cool too, but it still feels more tank-like than a Batmobile, just like the Tumbler does. So it's, you know, to me, those, the Justice League, the Arkham and the Tumbler, those kind of were kind of departures. I don't really consider them Batmobiles, because they just felt more like an accessory vehicle for Batman. Right. Not like a character vehicle like these, you know, the traditional Batmobiles with the wings and, you know, the all the different details that make it a Batmobile. But yeah, it's huge. It's really wide. It's really, it just looks like it's heavy. It looks bulletproof, even though it doesn't have armor. It has presence, definitely.
I mean, it's a car. It first and foremost is a car.
Yeah, but yeah.
Like, built like a tank.
Yeah. Exactly. And it feels more, it's weird though, when you look at it, it feels like it's built like a tank, but at the same time, it feels like a funny car where it looks like a shell with a tubular chassis around it. And so it feels like it could be nimble yet indestructible. You know what I mean? It's kind of a weird balance that they did with this car, and it's great. I love it.
Now how intricate is the back of it? Because like the backside of it where the engine is and everything, it just looks like incredibly intricate.
it was so intricate that I was trying to follow tubes to see which is the exhaust, which is the, yeah. And I couldn't tell where things were supposed to go. And I was like, man, they really like, you know, the it's funny too. And, you know, usually when I see these movie cars, you don't see them up close in the screen. So they don't care about how good their welds are. So I'm looking at it, and someone who knew how to weld did some good craftsmanship around all that pipework in the back of the car. And it was, they spent a lot of time definitely looking at how these, you know, all these pipes and all these tubes and all these wires are going to run to make it look cool. And at the same time, you know, look like it's something that someone actually did.
Did they start it for you?
No, they didn't. They didn't have a battery for it, so they couldn't turn on the lights. They were getting it ready to go out on a press tour or something like that. We literally only had 1 hour with it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So we had to set up all our gear, film
all your photos and sketch,
do all the photos, and head out after we were able to look at it.
Awful.
Yeah.
Did you get to sit in it?
No, because they didn't have the key either. But they would have let us. They would have let us. I would love to, because I would be taking pictures for days, but they wouldn't allow us to post the pictures unless it was on our Jada Toys website or social media. And it was approved by Warner Brothers before we post.
I have a colleague who loves Batman. And, like, you know, they take the 66 Batmobile to conventions everywhere and they let people sit in it. And so he got to sit in the 66 one, and he thought that was amazing.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to go to George Barris's studio before he passed and hang out with him and look at the original Batmobile and talk shop with him. And it was he was an amazing guy. I went there one time, stayed there for 45 minutes. Many years later, we had a car show, an art show where we used a 2006 Chevy Camaro and as an art piece. So we gave a bunch of artists that car in RC form and they painted it and did a bunch of different art pieces. We gave one to George Barris. I didn't give it to him personally. We just sent it to him. And then we had a big party outside of the LA Auto Show. He came with a bunch of and all the other artists. There were 60 artists that we sent this thing out to. 60 art pieces came back and 60 artists came out to LA. This was all from all around the country, came out to LA to have a party with us. I met George Barris once, stayed there for 45 minutes. He remembered my face, my name, what I was wearing, and he was just the nicest guy. He doesn't forget anyone. And it was really cool. I was like one of my most, probably my most memorable star-struck experiences that I've had.
So the RC card he designed, was it a Batmobile?
No, it was his crazy custom culture style.
Oh, wow.
And it was, he didn't just paint on it. He actually had more body panels put on. And you can tell, it's a George Barris style.
Yeah, of course, it's George Barris.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was we had to put that as a centerpiece in our display cases. And it was fun. It was really cool.
That just sounds so amazing. Like, I can't even imagine having a job where most of your day is building different versions of the Batmobile.
I know, right? it's a tough job.
Oh, I was gonna say. I can't ever imagine, like, especially with this one, walking in and going, oh, this again.
Yeah. You know, it's funny though, because
we're done with this car.
it's never really like that. It's always like, you know, the guys that I have, you know, that we work with, who build and design all these cars, we come in every morning and we like, hey, I just thought of this. What do you think about doing this? It's more like, how can we always make it better? And they're genuinely excited about making all these products and making them better every time we come into the shop, because it's to them, it's not just a job. It's really passion. Definitely.
So I want to put you on the spot again. I don't know if you'll be able to help with this or not, but again, I was talking to Bill and I did mention this to Bill, and Bill sort of went with me on it, but I want to see, it's been a few weeks. I want to see if it'll go any further. You make cars in all scales. And when I say all scales, I mean, you even make the sort of passed over nano versions of cars, and you may very famously make three packs of your Hollywood rides. So this car is destined to be made in all scales. So the question is, can you tell me definitively that there is a nano version of this Batmobile coming? Yay!
there is. Yay! It's a three pack. It has the nano vehicle. It has the nano the Batmobile, and it's. Oh, here, actually, here's a little treat.
No way.
This is what's called a first shot. This is the very first mold that die-cast mold that comes out of the tooling.
Awesome.
So this is it. I don't know if you'll be able to see.
I can see it perfectly. That is awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Yep.
It's coming, folks.
It's coming.
You can add that to your checklist of versions of the Batmobile you must have. Because I need one in every scale possible.
it's awesome. I love this the line of Nano Hollywood rides. It's nostalgic for some reason. It's diecast, which is a lot cooler than you know when I was collecting those little small scales. They were all plastic.
Now, obviously, you guys focused mostly on cars, but in the Batman, motorcycles play a very big role. So the question is, are you guys going to be doing different scales of like the new Batcycle?
This?
Yeah, like that.
Like the Batcycle from the movie? Even
better. So Bill and I literally talked about that, and he could not tell me that the motorcycle is coming like 3 weeks ago.
So there is a little bit of news out there on it. We did show the samples of it in a video. So it's out there. You can see them. So that's why I'm okay to tell you about that.
Is the motorcycle going to be in different scales too? Like the Batmobile, like, will there be like a 1/18th bat cycle or a 1/24th bat cycle?
There's something in the works. And scale wise, I think
that's my most and least favorite words when I do interviews.
It's really, you know, I'd love to tell you. I'm telling you, I want to tell you all this, but really, I can't tell you. But there is something in the works that has to do with motorcycles and has to do with Hollywood rides.
I always feel like I'm playing 20 questions. You know, is it bigger than a bread box? Is it
soft? I have something on my head and.
Right, exactly.
In your head, you're trying to figure out what you're saying. Yeah.
Like a Q in the Star Trek, then I'll answer any 10 questions that call for a yes or a no.
That's funny.
Actually, that's another question I had for you guys. Like, you do cars and like quote unquote realistic vehicles. Mm-hmm. Like, are you planning to go into like the more sci-fi-ish realm, like head towards Star Trek and you know, maybe other properties like that?
Yeah. Well, if we, for many years, we were doing a line of vehicle or of figures called Metal Figs, and these were die cast.
I remember that. Yep.
Yeah. So Metal Figs were die cast about.
They did an awesome Batcave playset that had computers and the Batmobile turntable and stuff.
Right. So those are nano metal fig size. We have a bigger size, which is 2.5 inch, and then we have a 4 inch metal fig. That's the taller one. That's more stylized.
Spider-Man and the exactly. Spider-Man is always the one I remember from that line.
Yep. And in that line, we were in talks to do some more sci-fi stuff. And we're always in talks with doing more sci-fi stuff. The only thing that we have to remember is we want to make sure it makes sense, right? We don't want to just make it just for the sake of making it. We want to make sure that, you know, if we're going to do an inspired by vehicle, it has to make sense. We can't just throw a car in and then put a character there with it and think it's going to sell. We want to make sure that there's meaning behind it. So we don't think like Star Trek, for example, we would do it justice if we were just going to throw them inside, you know, some kind of vehicle, you know, put Spock because of his ears. We're going to throw him into next to a, you know, a Diablo Cadillac or something like that. Right. That doesn't jive well.
Now, would it have to be a car, or like, could you do like a model of, say, the Enterprise with like a current right. figure?
Oh yeah. Oh, we definitely could. And then that all just goes back to licensing and what we're right, able to right. Yeah. But yeah.
I would love to see your sculptors take a crack at like the Enterprise or the...
So this is what's fun, because with Next Level, because Next Level is our direct to consumer, we don't have to stick with our box sizes that we have on mass market. So being able to do a Star Trek and with the Enterprise, we can do a different box size and include a figure, and that would make sense to us, and we can sell on Next Level without having to worry about footprint. So that's one of the other reasons why we created this JadaNextLevel.com website.
So let's mention that again. It's JadaNextLevel.com. And this Batmobile, I still can't believe this. It's so beautiful. It's got lights. It's diecast. It actually rolls. The wheels move. There's so much intricate detail on it. It's 1/18th scale. It comes with a diecast Batman figure. It's only $60. It's extraordinary. It's amazing. Like I could not believe when I read the price point.
Yeah.
How extraordinary it is. It's still on pre-order, or is it?
No, our pre-orders sold out. We are getting a few more pieces in, but we expect it to sell out really quickly. So the best thing to do to be on top of it is to sign up for our newsletter, because we send out newsletters maybe every couple of weeks or more. And that newsletter will tell you exactly when they're going to go back on sale.
Is there a wait list for it on the website, or is
it's going to be a first come, first serve. Once it's available, get on there, smash that buy button, see if you can get in.
When was the actual release date?
The actual release date was, I think it was the 1st of January.
Okay, 'cause it just said March when I looked the last time I looked, but
yeah,
it didn't say exactly when in March.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it was the first of the year that where.
So it is. It was released already. So it's actually available, just out of stock at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, and we have a couple more coming in, so you can get it early. Yeah. Yep.
Also, I know Bill was telling me it's going to be in some other sites. I think Forbidden Planet's going to have it.
I think Entertainment Earth might have it later. Yeah. So they'll be getting their shipment later on. So if you want it now, you can only get it through Jada Next Level now.
Believe me, you want it now. don't make, there's no doubt about that. Like, if you guys have seen this car, if you guys go and see it. By the way, I have to say, I loved the pre-order bit on your website, because it was like, all these close-ups of different parts of the car. It's literally
a photogenic car, man.
It
so well.
Like literally, you could hear the person whispering in the background going, "You want to buy this?"
Yeah, exactly.
Have to have it. Batmobile.
And that means our marketing program knows what they're doing.
I love, like, there's all like the fake smoke in the background lighting. No, you will not get this street scene, but you will get this car. So it is jadanextlevel.com. Again, they are sold out at the moment, but there are more coming.
Mm-hmm.
So sign up for the newsletter, and the instant that you see that newsletter come into your inbox, go to jadanextlevel.com and order this car. Because you will be mad if you do not get it.
Yep. Yeah. And that newsletter will also tell you like the inside of what's coming down the pipeline. Those people that are part of that newsletter will get the first, like, will be the first to know about anything new coming out.
And like, you should totally read that too, but order the Batmobile first and then go back to the rest of the newsletter. Like, the most important part of that newsletter is the Batmobile is back in stock.
Yeah, like, exactly.
As soon as you see those words, go and act on it immediately.
Immediately, yes.
I'll tell you now, if you have to go to eBay for this car on the secondary market after they all sell out, you're going to be really mad at how much you have to pay because you could have paid just $60 and you're going to pay a lot more. The secondary market. This is one of those definitive versions of a vehicle. And Jada's always been incredibly good at translating vehicles to the shelf. But like, I've very seldom gotten a product that looked so much like they just shrunk what was actually there. And put it on the shelf. Like, this is like, outside of like a snapped together model kit, it's very hard to hit this level of nailing the intricate details. And like, again, I have to give you and the rest of your team all the props in the world, because you did this from photos. Like,
yeah, it started off like from they, photos
like and... like, you know, you would expect it to come out with all these little, you know, all these little details, like the you know, the hood here with the all the grates in the hood and the you know, how intricate the back is and everything and the interior. You would expect it to come out like that if you had been given access to the car before you made it, and were able to take, like, you know, 360s of the entire car and the interior and the back and the hood and everything. The fact that you did this from photos without ever seeing the actual car is extraordinary. It's nothing short of extraordinary.
It's also, you know, we can't not give credit to Warner Brothers and their licensing team, because we go back and forth multiple times. You know, it's them saying, okay, this is not like that. You have to do it like this. Let's change this up. You know, here's some more reference images. Here's some more information that you can use to build this. It was a long process, but, you know, it was well worth it because the end product shows.
Like I said, I still find it amazing how it came out without never seeing the actual car.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine how many reference photos you had to pour over to go, no, that vent's like 5 centimeters that way. No, there's 6 slats in this vent, not 5. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I just can't even imagine. Like, this is
a fun project.
Like, you know, there's vehicles that are somewhat easy to replicate, like Knight Rider. It's a black Trans Am. You know, there's no real alterations made to the outside of the car.
Yeah.
So like, it's, you know, basically a stock Trans Am. There's nothing on this car that's stock anything. Like, you know, like,
Knight Rider is a nightmare, actually. Not a nightmare. It's fun to work on, but there's no reference for what the engine looks like. There's no reference for what the chassis looks like with the boosters underneath. We have nothing to work off of. We're making it up.
Now, see, I always thought that Knight Rider would be such an easy car to do because it's basically a real car on the outside.
It is, yeah, for the outside. But once, if you want to have details where the hood opens and you have a true or an accurate undercarriage, there's nothing. There's no reference at all. You know, the cars that they use were actual real regular cars, but the only references that we have is what they said on the TV show, what was inside of it. It's a turbine.
No, like, blueprints or anything that you can access from.
The only blueprints that we were accessing was an actual turbine engine that was made for a car and that we tried to fit inside of that cavity.
So that's so fascinating. Like, I always thought that, like, you know, whenever they designed these cars, like, they had, like, you know, blueprints and, you know, files and all this stuff that you could just, you know.
Not the older cars, not those 80s vehicles.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I would never have thought that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
But again, it just makes what you and your team do that much more impressive. And like I said, with this, like I said, I'm not a I'm I'm not a massive diecast guy, but mm-hmm. like within 5 minutes of getting the announcement email that you guys were doing this, like I was emailing Aitana back going, can I get one? I really have to have one. Yeah. And I can just like, I can, like I said, if I were, I'm sure that if I were a diecast diehard, I would have even more effusive praise to heap on you.
Thank
because
you.
I would know exactly what I was looking for to praise, but I will say that this car, that this Batmobile is absolutely badass, and that the model you've made of it is equally badass.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that a lot, and I'll relate that to my team, because I'm sure they would love to hear that from other people.
That grab your four-leaf clovers and rub your lucky rabbit's foots and wait for that email to come and pray to God that you can get in on the shipment, because on the secondary market, this is going to be brutal.
Oh,
like absolutely. I can't even, if you're willing to wait, you won't be, but if you're willing to wait, you can get them from Entertainment Earth and you can get them from Forbidden Planet. And you can go there now and place your pre-order, and you're going to have to wait a while. And, you know, all of your friends that got it from Data Next Level are going to be like, I have it already. they're going to taunt you mercilessly. But believe me, no matter where you get it from, go and get it, because it's worth it. $60 for this is a steal. They could have charged so much more, and people would have paid it. Because it's worth it. This is probably one of the best versions of this car I've seen. Mm-hmm. And the lights just really take it over the top. I cannot impress upon you how much this model is worth every penny that you pay for it. And you even get Batman. I mean, the figure, you know, we didn't talk much about the figure, but the figure is a diecast, non-articulated figure of Robert Pattinson in his Batman suit. And, you know, it does stand very nicely alongside the car. Like there are several, you know, there's a reference shot of him standing alongside the car. The car's parked on an angle. It's really cool. So you can recreate that scene, or you can just leave it on the display and just put it on a shelf like that. But it's a cool addition. I mean, I think it's nice that you guys always feel like the car should come with Batman. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that in the larger scales, at least, you always put Batman in there. Like for the smaller scales, obviously, like the figure would be super losable at that scale, but cat could eat it. I do love the fact that that for the bigger scales, you always put the Batman in. The one of the things I have to say I absolutely love about you guys is that you don't cheapen out on the smaller scales. Like mm-hmm. I've seen a tendency, you know, like, you know, not throwing any companies under the bus, but Hot Wheels has decided they're making two larger scale versions of the Batmobile. They're going to have lights, and you know, the $500 one's going to come with a massive display and you know, control mm-hmm. it through the app and stuff. And then there's a $100 RC one where a 7-inch figure will fit inside, mm-hmm. which will be great until Todd decides he wants to make his 7-inch Batmobile. But then like you get down to the lower Hot Wheels versions, like the normal scale Hot Wheels version, and it doesn't have lights, and it's, you know, it's fairly basic. The doors don't open, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You guys, this 118 scale is as cool as the 124th scale, which is as cool as the 136th scale. And even the Mini is cool. Like all of your cars, like you don't, the detail the attention to detail and the care taken into making it is the same no matter the scale. And mm-hmm. I've always respected the hell out of you guys.
Appreciate that. I we love hearing that, and thank you very much. We try, and that's one of our things. From ever since I started at Jada Toys over 17 years ago, it's always been our mantra.
So when you were 11?
Yeah. no, quite a bit more than 11, but yeah, it's always been great quality at an affordable price. And that's what we always, and we haven't really raised our prices much. I think we raised our prices twice since I've started at Jada on certain scales. And, we try to keep the same quality as much as possible where we can. But a lot of times we're eating the margin, you know, because we want to keep our prices low.
Yeah. So what I love is I will see kids go in the store all the time and look at the 1999 car that comes with the figure, mm-hmm. and the parent will not want to buy a 1999 car at that time, mm-hmm. and so they'll show them the 999 version of the same car. It doesn't mm-hmm. come with the figure, mm-hmm. but it doesn't feel like a consolation prize.
Right.
So like the kid will be very happy that he's still getting the car.
Yeah.
And that the car still looks like the same car that's a little bigger in the 1999 package, but it's in a more playable size in the 999 yeah. package.
Oh yeah.
So it doesn't cause a meltdown because the kid is still happy that they're getting the car, and this car is actually easier to play with than the one that they initially wanted. Yep. So the kid leaves happier than, you know, you would have expected. And I always love that about you people.
And we hope that happiness follows them as they get older, so they remember, oh, I remember getting that 32 scale Jada size. I can afford the 24 now. Let me jump up to that scale and you know, see if I can
relive. I've seen that happen tons of times.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we hope.
I've seen people come in all, or like, kids will get gift cards or birthday money and they'll come in and go, I can get the bigger one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Shoot, exactly. We're in the business of giving people the warm fuzzies, and that's what we like.
Yeah, like I said, it's really amazing. Like even the nanos, the detail and the quality in them. Like I have the utmost respect for people that sculpt in that scale.
Oh, it's crazy.
Because I look at that all the time and go, there, but for the grace of God, go I. I couldn't even imagine we're working on a scale that small in like a million years.
Yeah.
It takes a special type of person mm-hmm. to comfortably work in that scale.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I would be scared out of my mind to work in that scale. It's not like you can fix. Like if you make an error at that scale, it's not really like you can easily fix it without having to scrap the whole thing and start over.
I know it's a tough scale to work in because you lose a lot of detail, but you try to keep as much as you can. And the hardest part about that scale is you put a lot of detail into the sculpt. Once you put paint over it, it hides a lot of that detail because it fills in those little creases and stuff. So you got to keep that into consideration when you're building these and designing.
Even like a Hot Wheels scale, I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't know if I could. Like, I really don't.
It's, like, there's a system.
I think this is probably the first, the smallest scale I feel comfortable on. Because I can at least see all of the little like grates and stuff without a magnifying glass.
You know? Right.
Like I could probably take a stab at something at this scale, but not smaller than this. I've determined this is my comfort zone.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's funny.
But I'm so excited for you guys and you. Like I'm so happy for your success and like I'm so absolutely blown away at how this came out and right. and so honored that you guys were considered me worthy of being sent one. Like, it really means a lot to me because I'm a smaller person on the, you know, on the media totem pole. Like, I know that I'm low man on the totem pole. And like, I never started doing this to be like world renowned or anything. I did this because I liked the stuff and I thought maybe I could, you know, tell other people how much I like the stuff and, you know, begin dialogue with other people about how much they like the stuff and what they like and what they might like to see. And I've been so fortunate to meet so many people who have been so considerate to me over the years. And it really like just absolutely blew me away when Bill told me that I was the first person that he had talked to who wasn't a JADA employee who had one. And I was like blown away by that. So like, again, I can't thank you guys enough. I have run out of superlatives to describe it. But I have told like several hundred people by now about how much I love it. And again, for those of you out there, I'm not prone to hyperbole. So when I gush like this, it's because the product is genuinely good. And this is genuinely exceptional. So again, JADANextLevel.com. Go sign up for the newsletter so that you can find out when you're going to have to beat everyone else to JADANextLevel.com to order one. Because again, if you miss it, you're going to be mad. Just take it from me now. Because I know that if I had not heard about this and I had let this pass and I had seen it somewhere else or someone else had it, I would have been very, very angry that I missed it. It's worth it. It's $60, which is super inexpensive considering how much you get for your money. You get your money's worth. I promise. You won't be disappointed. I promise. So again, go to JADANextLevel.com, sign up for the newsletter to find out when you can get it again from them. As Michael said, they are coming soon, but it's not going to be a huge batch. So it's probably going to be a massive race to get yours before they sell out. You can get it from ForbiddenPlanet.com and you can get it from EntertainmentEarth.com. You can place your pre-orders now there, but you will have to wait. And as you know, since you're watching this, it means you're a geek like me who has to have it as soon as they can. Waiting is hell. So that's it. That's all I can say. I can't say anything more to you. If you guys aren't convinced enough by that pitch, there's nothing more I can do.
Thank you very much again. Appreciate it. And you know, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. And you know,
I love this. I really do. I am so impressed by this. Like I said, the only thing that I'm sad about is that the knees don't bend on the Batman figure that comes with it, and I can't sit in behind the wheel.
We hear you. We're taking notes. Don't worry.
I genuinely can't wait to see what you guys come up with. The innovation is just extraordinary from you guys. I can't wait to see what comes up with. And remember, you saw the little prototype car here first. Michael didn't have to do that. It wasn't coached. It wasn't planned. But it was really nice of him to do that. Because I was very excited about the concept of having one of these in every possible size that I could find. And now that is a possibility. So again, I know that you have other things to do than sit here and talk to me. Because I could talk to you like all day. But thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Michael Manis is a designer at JADATOYS.com who is one of the people responsible, again, for this extraordinary, extraordinary Batmobile that has awesome lights and is a really substantial and gorgeous piece of machinery. And he's also one of the lucky people who has actually seen this car in person. I wish I were one of those lucky people. however, I have a leg up on him. I've seen the movie already.
I'm going this weekend for sure.
Thank you again so much, Michael. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for everything. And I can't thank you enough for all the stuff you've mentioned.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Please tell Bill I said hello.
You will, definitely.
All right, guys, that's it for this week. You can join me back here next week to see what I'm geeking out about and who I'm geeking about it with. For now, this is Rob signing off. That's it for this week. I hope you guys really enjoyed the interview with Michael. I'd like to thank Michael for taking time out to do the interview. I'd also like to thank Etana Quinteros for setting up the interview. We'll be back next week with more of what I'm geeking out about. If you haven't already, go to jadanxlevel.com to order the Batmobile we've been talking about the entire time. It is out of stock right now, but you can get signed up to their newsletter to find out when it will be back in stock. And when it is back in stock, again, go get it quickly. Or if you can stand to wait, you can get it from Entertainment Earth or from Forbidden Planet. And if you haven't already, go see the Batman, because it's awesome. So we'll see you next week.